Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen. How do you want to see him?
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him?
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Amen. I want to see him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our visitors back there with us. Glad to be with us today. As we always say, when you come one time, you're a visitor. You come two times, you're part of us. So that's, we don't have anything to join up with, but we're glad to have you with us. And also, Brother Kern, I believe that's the way you pronounce it, will be leaving Tuesday. He's been here with us for a little while from Haiti. Is that right? Trinidad, excuse me. I always miss the wrong place. I put you in the wrong country. I can't get them straight. Trinidad. All right. But he's going back Tuesday, so we've had a good time. Enjoyed him being with us. Amen. And I don't know of any other announcements to be made. I guess that's all the visitors we've got, because if you come one time, you're a visitor. You come two times, you don't get counted a visitor. You're just part of us, you know, and all, but we're glad to have everybody with us. Good to see everybody. Amen. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelations 1, where we've been reading. And we will read Revelation 1, 1 through 3. And just continue on to our thought. Oh, too, there's a brother, Brother Ernie sent us a thing from really coming from Brother Barry Coffey about a brother, Anwan Javed, I guess is the way you pronounce it, that he's in Pakistan, and they've been giving him a lot of trouble. Some kind of a group there has been giving him a lot of trouble, beating him up, threatening him and everything. So just remember that. Remember all of these missionaries. It seemed to be that the foreign fields is getting the blunt now of starting the thing, so we know that it'll work its way all the way through. So let's just pray for these, and we'll leave this back there, and you remember it and pray for these, all right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for salvation, for peace, for joy. Thank you for all things. And we ask you now that you would just come among us to, Lord, reveal yourself unto us, not to just watch all of us in our actions, but to be able to, Lord, reveal yourself into our hearts and lives. Forgive our sins most of all and cover us by the blood. And just bless each one. Bless our visitors, Lord, as they're with us today. And may they understand all of our ways and thoughts and ideas, and just pray for us, Lord. Remember this brother there in Pakistan that, Lord, is being threatened, his family and things, and we ask you to just bless those. Be with all the little bride around the world. That's not hard to pray, because it's a promise that you would do it. So we pray that you would just go forth and just remember them, Lord. Have your way now and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1, 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Remember, we covered the time is at hand. There never was a time for this book of Revelations to be understood until this end time. All right, so now it's here, and, you know, time for us to understand and to walk therein and to see, you know, the light of the love of God made manifest to his little bride by revealing himself. Now, we covered this past Wednesday night as we read, so we'll turn over and read Revelation 4:1, and we started covering the open door and what John saw. And this is a kind of a study on the book of Revelations, not doing it in depth like we did back years ago, but trying to skip over some things and just pick up some points and getting down then to Revelations chapter 5. All right. So, you know, we'll go to Revelations 4:1 and just look at the scripture there and see what it says. All right, so it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Now we'll go ahead and read verse 2 because that'll get into our message part. "And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." So, you know, we appreciate the brothers running those things up. Now, the open door, you remember how we covered it? You remember Jesus said in John 10, said, "I am the door of the sheep." He didn't say just that I'm the door of the sheepfold or something. That's fine because all of that types out and all. But he said, "I am the door of the sheep," because that's who we are. You know, we are his sheep. And we thank God that he's made us to be that. But we covered the open door and speaking on it, and we'll go back and pick up a little bit in a minute to see that. But remember, the scene was on earth in chapter 1 of Revelations, and he saw, you know, the things of Revelations 1. Saw one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps. We covered that as showing the feminine part of the, you know, being the bride of Christ. And it's like I've told you, the book of Revelations to me is the greatest book of all the books after we become to a point of understanding, because in the book of Revelations, you never find Jesus just by himself standing somewhere or something. He's always in the bride or revealing himself to the bride as standing there with her or basically in her. It's the greatest book, and I've always said if I had to just take one book I could take, you know, out of the Bible, I would take the book of Revelations now, because we understand it. We were first told we couldn't understand it. Now we see it so simple a child can understand, because, you know, you're not looking for some kind of a physical door to be cut in heaven, you know, and John looks up and, oh, there's a door, you know, it's probably locked, you know. No, we're not trying to do that. We're trying to look and see what these things mean. And by way of the prophet's message, expounding unto us the symbolics of the book of Revelations, then we don't have any trouble with understanding it. We just read it and believe it and see what it's talking about. But see, we look at, as I said, Jesus would say, "I am the door of the sheep." He was expressing himself back there for what he was. And then that's what we were trying to cover Wednesday, that we'll read in just a minute again, where John saw Jesus. That's what he saw. He didn't look up and see. Those are symbolics. A door was just a symbol, right? See, that was just a symbol. That wasn't a door up there. It was a person that he saw. All right? Now, we'll get to that in a minute, but what I want you to see is go ahead, brother, and pull up these scriptures. I want you to see that there has been spoken of before about heaven being opened and people being able to see and the things that were seen there. And you'll think, well, you know, did he look at the door and see the door and Jesus standing in the door? No, he saw the door and he knew that was Jesus. All right. So now we go back in the Old Testament. We pick up Genesis, where that Jacob watched what he saw. And he delighted upon a certain place, and tarried there, chapter Genesis 28:11-13. Because the sun was set, And he took of the stones of that place and put them for pillars and lay down in that place to sleep. And watch. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Now watch. It's on the earth. I love it that way. Because we're down here. All right. And the top of it reached to heaven. All right. Now watch. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. I like it that way. Ascending and descending. See, we think the angels were descending and ascending. Now, see, watch what it said. These are the angels of God ascending from where Jacob was. They wasn't up there coming down. They were down here with Jacob and all. Because angels in heaven is wonderful. That's all right. I want them down here, you know. I need help down here, and I get the help, I don't have to worry about it. All right. But watch. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. Now watch. In the land where he forgives. But my point is what? He looks up, the dream, and what does he see? He sees the Lord standing at the top of the ladder. All right. John saw Jesus. Jacob saw a ladder reaching from earth to heaven, and angels going from Jacob, which was taking his prayers, and that's what it does for me and you. See, the angels of God take your prayers and carry them up. All right? Then bring back the rewards to you, like the revelation of the word, the things, the healings, or whatever. And see, I like it that way. It's not descending and ascending. It's totally different. All right. We'll go now to the book of Acts and let's see it again. All right. So in Acts now, this is Stephen. What? And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. See, just giving you two situations in the Bible that we could spend a large amount of time speaking on, that what do you see? It was a symbolics back there, and it's still symbolics now. But I hope you notice in Genesis that it did use the capital L-O-R-D. The God himself standing at the head of the ladder, you know, welcoming you and I. All right. Now, then, but let's get down to the point and just review. We're still on the review part just a little bit. A couple of quotes. I want you to keep these, so go ahead to quote number 3. I want you to read these and think about it. This is Revelation chapter 4, part 1 of it. 1960, 1231. This door said in heaven. That door. Now watch. That door. When he looked up, he saw the Lord Jesus. But John didn't look up and see a door. He did. Now get it right. Now listen to me. So see. Follow me. He saw a door, but immediately the understanding to John was. See. John was there to get these symbolics and break them down to you and I. So sure, he saw a door. Just like Jacob saw a ladder in his dream, and he saw God standing at the top of the ladder. All right, now the ladder is the Lord Jesus, because the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. See, that's why we could spend so drastic amount of time on each one of those things. And Stephen, he saw the heavens opened, but he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Or at the throne we'll get to this afternoon. All right. And when we get to that point, then we'll see what it is. But look what he saw. Now notice what he said. Now the scene is changing. John's been watching Patmos. In other words, what was on earth and going on, you know, and telling him the things, the church ages and the Revelations 1 and then Revelation 2 and 3, church ages. Now the scene is changing. John's been watching Patmos. And now he looks up. Why? He sees something went on earth here, the church ages. All down through the 7 church ages. And then after he got through seeing the church ages, after the church ages has ceased, he heard a voice, and he looked up towards heaven, and he seen an open door. And the first voice sounded like a trumpet. All right, scene changed from Patmos to heaven. Now remember, we covered the voice, and the person is the same. So when John heard the voice, as he did in Revelation 1, he turns to see the voice, but he sees seven golden candlesticks. He sees the symbolics. But what did he see? Jesus Christ. He turned to see the one that had spoke to him on earth. See? And that's what's happening here in Revelation 4. See? Things are going to be made known and revealed, but first you got to see Jesus. All right? You say, well, I see the bride. Well, that's good. But you remember, you can only see the bride by seeing Jesus Christ. See, then it'll come forth that you'll see really what it's all about. Then you'll see Jesus, because she is, that is who she is. All right? Now, watch the next one then. All right? This is Revelation chapter 4, part 1, the same message. Now, he, after the church age was over and everything was come ready, made ready the setting of the fourth chapter here, the church ages was done. He had done left the earth. You see, remember the voice that spoke to him behind him in the seven golden candlesticks. Now, that's chapter 1, right?
Right.
That's where he saw it, and he heard the voice. And he turns to see, as I said, and he turns to see, and he sees seven golden candlesticks. But he knows the voice. The voice is the one that he talked to on earth, that he sat down and ate with and fellowship with, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And now that same voice was speaking up in heaven. What was it? He had done, redeemed his people. His earthly work was finished. And he was in glory, calling to John, come up hither. Amen. That makes me feel like shouting all through the new year. Now, remember what we covered in the voice that Brother Brown said to Charlie Cox. You know, he said, Brother Charlie, the one that called you and told you to turn around, will one day call you and tell you to come up. All right? See, it's not a different voice. The one that spoke to you about your salvation, the one that called you, is the same one that's going to call us up. It's not two or three different Holy Ghosts and, you know, and all kind of things to get into man's mind and, you know, trinities and points like that. But now, here's what I want you to get today. And I know it's going to take a little bit of understanding in your mind to comprehend things, because you're so used to being this way, this way, this way. So you might want to change from this way to that way. And that way's him. You know, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? Now, but see, by our teachings and our thoughts and our minds and our trying to comprehend everything by the natural, we get into trouble. All right? See, that's why we've always been taught to stay away from the book of Revelation. Because we tried to understand those things naturally. Now, some of the people like Scofield and the different ones, they went into some things and began to see things, and thank God for it. There was people down through time that had truth. All right? But we're in the end time where the truth is at. The prophet's message has been brought to us, and if we need to have an understanding, we just go ask him what it's all about, right? You say, well, he ain't here to ask him. See, there's one of those natural points in your mind. He ain't here now to ask him. We got the books and the tapes, the computers to run it off. The way these notes right here, years ago, when I preached this probably the first time back about 40 years ago, it took me weeks and weeks to find these, you know, to search out through the message, listening to tapes, and writing down the quotes. Now we can just go with the computer just, and instantly we've got the quotes and a whole lot more than what we used to have. And that's why I've always said, you know, everybody wants my Bible, because I used to write my own concordances. If you want to know something on the Godhead, I can just turn in here and tell you. You want to know what the third pull, I can just turn in here and tell you, because that's where I write them down. All right. Now, but the point is, now we're so where we can just get it in a hurry and understand. All right. Now, but my point this morning is one thing. The bride will go up in Revelation 4:1. All right. Now listen real carefully, because we're going to give the prophets quotes of these, like in the seal book, like in Feast of the Trumpets and others. And the bride, the prophet said, is not seen from Revelation 4:1 to 19:21. Now you got to remember what he's saying. She's not seen on earth. because she's definitely seen in Revelations 4, because she goes up. John is a type. She's definitely seen in Revelations 5, because we're priests and kings and et cetera, you know. All right? So then, don't just see, when you hear a prophet say something, you got to be able to listen carefully what he's saying. Because you take that and say, well, the church is seen no more. Gone. Well, then you can go in the book of Revelation and read it. You know. So that's not the way that we're trying to approach it. We try to approach it by revelation to understand what's being said. And sometimes it takes that, like I told you, that Brother Moda, I remember him telling me, when they were just hearing the tapes and going to the tabernacle, and like Brother Branham said, Adam and Eve went out of the garden. Well, see, to them that just meant he was out. He was gone, you know. And said it may be months or whatever before the prophet would preach another sermon that they could get a hold of, and where Brother Branham would say, but see, they had a lamb before they went out. Well, see, then you can get into a lot of trouble by not having the ability to search out and see what the prophet is saying. So just like I said there, the prophet will say the bride is not seen no more. Well, she's not seen on earth, but she can be seen in heaven. But not like we're thinking. Now, here's the problem. And I've tried to express this for many, many over 40 years. You say the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1 and not seen until 1921 when she rides back. But Brother Dale, Revelation 10:7. Are you saying that that's not Brother Branham? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's placed in order. But Brother Dale, where it says in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people. If you're not saying that's the bride coming out, no, I'm not saying that. But now, are you going to listen to what the prophet had to say? Or are you going to take your own interpretation? So if he says the bride goes up in 4:1 and not seen till 1921, then don't try to see her on earth. Well, if she's already in heaven, then earth ain't bothering her. Right? Is that true? So what goes on earth is no concern to the bride. The seals. I tried to preach that in 1979, started from there on up, especially 82 and 83, that we talk about the seals. Oh, yes, we understand the seals. The white horse rider is Antichrist. Well, Clarence Larkin said that before Brother Branham did. Did that make it right? No, because he didn't have the revelation of it. He had a partial understanding. All right? It's because he was still riding on the same white horse. Right. But you see, the seals has nothing to do with the bride. They're to Israel. The revelation of the seals is what has to do to you and I. All right? Because the seals show, and we'll read a quote in a minute, where the seals show what it was, what is, and what will be. All right? So the complete plan of redemption is shown in the seven seals. But the actually opening of the seals is to Israel. They asked Brother Branham on the questions and answers. It says, does the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God? He says, is that the first seal? And he said, yes. Well, we better not be around here when the man of sin is revealed as sitting in the temple of God. We know who he is. Why? We've been told the story. We know the end of the book. Right? We know who John and Mary is, but we know the happily ever after living, right? It's like I said there the other day. God said to Abraham, said, can I withhold anything? Seeing that he's the heir of all things. And he just opened up and give him a layout. He said, well, what did he give to it? He gave him all the way down to the change of the body. Now, come on, he made him a young man. All right. See, so he showed him the whole plan of redemption. All right. Well, see, that way then we have to follow it. You say, yeah, but I've always been taught the seals is to the bride. The revelation is to the bride. Go now, listen. I got to cover a few things this morning to get them out of the way. See? All right. The white horse rider is the Antichrist, right? That's not the seal. Sorry. That's what you see when the seal is broke. The seal is the Holy Spirit. Come on, get it in the Bible. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed. See, we say we understand the seals. The seals is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then when you see Jesus Christ revealed, you automatically see these other things. Go to the first seal and read it. Notice where Brother Brown said, my revelation is that God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost is the self-same person. He said, and there goes the white horse rider. Thereby, that guy, that fellow going that away is the Antichrist. Now, as Trinitarians, it didn't matter how many people we had running all over the place, right? You see where we can't comprehend it with the Trinity. And we're going to have a guy running this way, the guy running that way, the guy running... No, look at that. There's God revealed. Great big bunch of grapes, you know. Well, we thought we had it, didn't we? Then I'd like for you to get it out of your mind. The seals is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you see Jesus Christ revealed, you will automatically see the opposition. Check how many times Brother Branham calls him that other feller, that other guy that's riding off. If you see two people in the Bible, you better believe one of them's got to be the Antichrist. Because there's only one person in the Bible revealed. I like the way Brother Branham says things. He said Jesus is not the second person, third person, second person. He said he's not even the first person. Now, that's a direct quote if you want it. I'll be glad to get it. He said he is the person. See, if you say a first person, that means there can be two or three more. All right. But when you say there's just one person, all right. And that's why he could see that one person revealed to him was the revelation of Jesus Christ. When that seal unfolded, he saw the Jesus that he'd preached all of those years. And he saw another fellow riding off. So then that way it gives you a better understanding of reading the seal book. Because you're reading the seal book not to find out what's going to happen to you, but to find out who you are. We read the Bible to try to find it. Well, if I could just find the things I need to get rid of and the things I need to do. Well, don't worry about it. They're in there. You'll find it. You ought to know it. I know my problems, don't you? I live with me. But you see, we read the Bible trying to find out what will make us good or, you know, or has made us bad that we can repent of. And that's all right, good. But why not read it to see who you are? The book's written to you. They always tell you, this is my Bible. What I mean is, this don't belong to my wife. Now, somebody give it to me. I forgot who gave me this one. Brother Collie gave me one. I wear them out, you know. But this is my Bible. This book is talking to me. You got to have your own Bible. Now, that don't mean she can't read my Bible. Josh has got my old one with all of the notes in it. If you ever want to know anything, ask Josh. He sits down. He used to sit down there with us in questions and answers, and they always told him he couldn't answer them because he had the cheat sheet. You know, when you're asking what it was, and Josh had it written down, he wasn't allowed to answer. All right? That's fine, but still, that's my book. The Bible is speaking personally to me. You understand? You got to believe it's speaking to you. All right? Now, see, that way then it's my book. We'll get to it when we get into Revelations 5. All right? But now getting on to the point of another thing. He said, well, what about Revelations 10:7? And like 18:4, those two, you know, quoted, because I had the brothers sliding those over the table under my nose one time when I was trying to say this. But I told him, I said, brothers, Brother Branham said in the Feast of the Trumpets, He said it in the sealed book. I gave him quote after quote, but I said in a feast of the trumpets. He said, this is thus saith the Lord all the way through. I said, in that message, he emphatically states, the bride goes up in 4:1. We'll read it. Doesn't come back till 19:21. But see, their minds couldn't comprehend what was being said. But you know, it's a very simple thing to me, because after the Lord spoke to me, and you know what? I'm glad that day. See, there must needs be heresies, that they that are proved may be made manifest. And you know, until that day, I had a doubt in my own mind about what I was saying. I could quote Brother Branham, but I didn't have anything anchored into my heart that I could discuss it with you from my own revelation. I had the quotes from the prophet, and I believed them. All right. Now, then I didn't try to figure it out. We were coming back up the road, and this brother, he said, Brother Dale, he said, I've never seen your expression like that. I said, what do you mean? He said, you look so down and out when you left that meeting. I said, brother, you don't understand. I said, I gave them what Brother Branham said. And they were just sitting there tearing it apart by their own intellectual concept, because they couldn't comprehend. And it just dropped down. The very key, let's go to Revelation 10. I wasn't going to go to this way, but we will. I've preached this to you before, so most of you know. Look in Revelation 10, and let's read what it says. All right? Maybe they'll catch up by the time I'll start reading, brother, if you want to go to Revelation 10. But I'll start reading in verse 1 of Revelation 10. And look what he says. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Okay, they done got me. They're sharper than I am. They're younger than I am, too. Right. Look what he says. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. All right. Brother Brown said on page 72 and 74 of the seal book that Revelation 10:1 is the same as Revelations 1:10-13. Okay? So we're starting off with what? A scene of the bride. Now, I didn't give these answers. Your prophet gave it. We'll be glad to get a seal book and let you run it up and look. He said it's the same as Revelations 1. One standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girded about the pouch for the golden girdle, which is a feminine form showing the girdle. The thing is over his shoulders, but it's down and covering this, the girdle. It's the women, you know, girded about the pouch. What? Now, he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Now, let me ask you a question. I mentioned it the other night. Is Brother Branham a part of the Bride of Christ? You agree with that statement? That Brother Branham was a part of the Bride of Christ? Now, you'd be silly to say that he wasn't, because you'd be putting him outside of it somewhere. And you'd have the doctrines like some of the brothers has got, that Brother Branham was an Old Testament prophet in a New Testament age. Now, that's doctrines among this message. I didn't cover that one on the doctrines here a while back. But that's a doctrine prevalent among the ministers of the message, that Brother Branham was an Old Testament prophet in a New Testament age. I said, brothers, you got a problem, because he would be an unregenerated person. That's your problem. See? All right. But look, then Revelations 1, 10 through 13, would be showing the bride of Jesus Christ. You agree? See, Brother Branham would be part of it. Paul would be a part of it. Irenaeus, Martin, Columbo, all of them, that's what he was seeing. Not just one church age, but he was seeing them all. All right? So then when you see the bride, no wonder Brother Branham would say, let's see, said, will a bride have a ministry? And watch what he said. He said, sure. The bride will have a ministry. He said, sure. She consists, now I'm quoting him verbatim, of apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. She, the bride, consists of that. Because all of those fivefold ministries is in the body of Christ. Right? So Brother Branham would be in the body of Christ. So that wouldn't take him out of Revelations 1:1. I mean 10:1. See, that would put him exactly where he's at. I'll pull that back up now. That would put him exactly where he's standing. Is Brother Branham standing there? In the bride of Christ. See, we want to isolate him by himself. And he doesn't. He wants to be with the bride of Jesus Christ. See? And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was that where the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, if you make that Brother Branham in a literal point, look what you've got. You got deity. Okay? But if you make it Revelations 1, the bride, she is deity. And Brother Branham then was deity. Amen. He was deity the same as we're deity. That's what I told a man up in Jeffersonville. He was talking about Brother Branham being deity. I said, and I pointed over to his brother, I said, if you'll tell me that brother got the Holy Ghost standing right there, that he's as much deity as Brother Branham is, taking away the gifts and taking away the signs and the wonders, you know, just as an individual. And I said, then I'll go along with you that Brother Branham was deity. He said, oh, no, brother. Well, I knew who I was talking to, so we don't need to discuss it. You know, he had Brother Branham as deity, and the rest of us as deity, I guess. I don't know. Or like the other brother says, we're a half god, maybe. So that would be a demon god. You know, well, that's what it is. He's not a full god. But listen, we know that he had a book in his hand. That's not Brother Branham. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in bride form.
That's right.
With Brother Branham was standing there. Keep on going now. And we cried and roared, going down to verse 7. Because anybody that don't know the rest of it, you might as well forget all of it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he was held, begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophet. Now, who is the voice of the seventh angel? Okay, that's Brother Branham. Amen. Now we're right. We're right. We got Brother Branham in the right order. He is the angel to, not the Laodicean church age. He said, if you do that, he said, you make me a Pentecostal. That's where people don't follow the message. There's only seven church ages, right? There's only seven church messengers, but Brother Branham placed eight church messengers. 464 seal book, copy it off if you want to. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and Elijah. You got your seven. Everybody looks at that and said, Brother Branham was the messenger of the seventh church age. He was not the messenger of the seventh church age. Brother Branham said the one-eyed black man was the messenger to Azusa Street. You want these quotes? Just go to 464 of the seal book and read it. But when you read it, he'll say that there was another great prophet came. He said Luther and Wesley, and he said another great prophet. That wasn't Brother Branham, because listen to the quote. You want it? We'll be glad to get somebody. They can run it up back there in a hurry and give it to you. That he says, no messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself. In his fullness in the baptism, he said. He said, but at the end of the age, as all the other age, then the messenger came. Brother Branham came at the end of Laodicea. Because you've got to go back into the scriptures of Exodus and all of that, and especially Leviticus, and pick it up where Leviticus 25:8, where the seven sevens is 49. And see, then you got to have a messenger to come. If Brother Branham was only the messenger to Azusa Street, then you have no rapture. So there's not 9-8 messengers like messengers that we take them to, you get all messed up. There's 8 manifestations of the Holy Spirit of God down through 7 church ages, and that puts you where Brother Branham could bring us the message of eternity. Okay? Brother Branham brought the message of eternity. You agree with that?
Amen.
See, then he wasn't a messenger to the end of the ages. He was the messenger that comes at the end of the age. I figured they'd get it by then. If I preached long enough. All right. So this is 464, the seal book, which is actually, run it back down just a higher, brother, where we can see. 1963, 324, which runs you paragraph 52, but it's actually 464 of your seal book. All right. In each one of those ages, only taking the dip into the Holy Spirit. Justification is the work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. Now listen. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. No messenger to the age. Because the messenger come in Azusa Street with the gifts. Come on. Because the Holy Ghost came himself in his fullness of the baptism on Azusa Street. He came down to give the people the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like it was in the book of Acts. Not the upper room of the 120 now. The 3,000 downstairs. We've done preach that. It's split. All right, because the 3,000 downstairs only heard one message. They couldn't be put up here at the faith of the fathers. They couldn't be brought up this position. They only heard one message. But the 120 in the upper room were 2 to 3.5 years with Jesus' ministry. All right, look what he says. But at the end of the ages, always ends up on the others, we find then, there then, the messenger sent, and all these scruples and things are to be placed into their place. See? All right? So then that would solve the problem with me, to understand it and to see that. But you say, well, now, give us something. All right? And that's what I said. I was riding up the road. And something spoke. That the key is Revelations 10, 7, the first word. We'll pull that up, brothers. Revelations 10, 7. The key is the first word. But now, remember what John is to do. Trying to express it. John is to write down what he sees and hears, right? And he wrote it in symbols. John didn't write and saw in heaven an open door, and that door was Jesus. He didn't do that. He didn't write White Horse Rider, and that was the Antichrist. He didn't do that. He done exactly what he was told to do. Right? Whether he knew it or not, what he was doing, he had to do what God gave him. All right? But God knew, right, that in the end time there'd be a prophet. Come on. He knew there'd be a prophet in the end time to tell what that open door was, to tell what that Antichrist was. All right, remember now, Revelation 10 is already past the opening of the seals. They're in 6 and going over. You got to get to 7 to cover the I believe it's 8-1. 8-1. You got to go to 8-1 to get to 7th seal. All right. John's over and he sees all these things and the great multitude of people and the redemption of all mankind. And remember what John was to do. You remember that in his writings? Chapter 1. John, write what you see and send it to the church. Right? Is that the way it said? And send it to the church. See, send it to us. Send it to the bride of Christ. That whatever they could comprehend down through the ages, they could handle the part. But, you know, especially in this end time. John, you're supposed to write it. Now, you done wrote chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, how in the world is God going to get that to the bride of Jesus Christ in the seventh church age for her to understand? John, what are you going to do? John sets our search in his mind. I've seen all these things. They are of God. And I've got to get it back to the church age. John sees right then, as Brother Branham kept emphasizing, he said, so thereby the seventh angel must be a prophet. You want those quotes? Thereby the seventh angel must be a prophet for the word to come to. So now he's got the key. So John writes, but. He said, well, what does that do with it? Well, if you'd get your head out of the sand and quit thinking about a billy goat butt in his head, or forgive me, what you're sitting on, and get your mind into the spiritual mechanical realms of the Holy Ghost and listen to him. How can I get that back there? These seven thunders have uttered their voices. Come on, right above it, right? How am I going to get it back there? And it strikes John. He said, but that seventh church age messenger will be a prophet that can bring these forth. But don't put Brother Branham in Revelation 10:7. It puts him in Revelation 3:14. Come on. 3:14 is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The beginning of the creation of God and the messenger to the age and the ending up of all things. And what does he say? But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, all of these things that I've wrote is going to be made known to him. And he can bring it to the bride. All right? Are you listening? So it doesn't move Brother Branham to Revelation 10:7. He's in Revelation 3:14. And going on down to 22, I think it is, when it winds up the last part about, you know, into the messenger of the age and the overcomer and what our overcomer this age would be. Now, but in the days of the voice. That doesn't put Brother Branham there on another account either. It's because this message will go to Israel. There will be two prophets that will open those seals, quoting Brother Branham, to Israel. He said they open that sixth seal anytime they want to, which means the plagues and the vials and the torment is going to happen under the sixth seal, right? See, these seals are going to Israel. That's why the first seal says, is that the man of sin sitting in the temple of God? You better believe we better not be here when that man sits there. Because if we see him sitting there, physically happening, you better believe we've done missed the rapture. And we're in the tribulation. Right? Because there ain't no second rapture to take care of the people that missed the first one. Right? So get serious and think about it. See, this message will go to Israel. That's Revelation 10:7 to that part. Those two witnesses will pick up this message. You want it out of the seal book? He said, they'll tell them you missed it. But said a bride caught it. It's in the seventh seal. Said the bride caught it. And she's gone up. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, you're not going to understand. Revelation 18:4 doesn't have to be come out of her, my people. Israel has got to come out of that Antichrist covenant. So it's a twofold meaning. You understand? But you see, We still hold with our mind. But Brother Dale, I don't understand. You're so deep. I don't see anything deep of what I just brought out. That Brother Branham don't go to Israel. That's the fifth Elijah. But his message will. The fifth Elijah will take the message of the fourth Elijah, right? And speak to Israel. Right? That was one thing when I was in Israel, to find out. The Jews, because I never looked it up, and Wade did. He looked up and preached a marvelous thing on it, and all, and we began to understand. You know, the Jews, when they sit at that table and everything and eat in that Passover, they leave a seat there. And it's for Elijah. Because they believe Elijah is going to come before the Messiah. Well, if Moses was the Word back there, then Moses will be the Christ that Elijah will precede coming with him, right? It was all in the message. See, church, it's not hard to understand. It's just to get away from our understanding. Well, it's got to be over here. Brothers were taking and pushing over. The book of Revelation is not in correct chronological order. I said, I'm sorry. Your prophet said it was perfectly in order. The book of Revelations is perfectly in order. It don't have to be scrambled around and moved backwards and forth. It's in perfect order. But now, if Brother Branham was only into Revelations 3:14 through the seventh church age and was not over in Revelation 10, you would be juggling your books to try to find something. But it's his message. And Revelations 10:1 is the bride of Jesus Christ. That's what your prophet said. Well, I can't understand that. Why? Because you don't have the Holy Ghost to understand it with. I'm sorry. I offend people by talking like that, but I'm sorry. It's true. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, He can't reveal anything to us. Oh, you just study it all out, Brother Dale. I've told you before, when that first seal broke to me, I was running a job and it took two people to run. A man couldn't relieve me for take a break. I'd have to come back and help him catch back up. It was so fast. Take two people to run the job the day I was out. And yet God spoke to my heart. And I scribble little notes, just words, so I could come home and check it out. You wasn't in your study and down on your knees praying? No, I was at General Motors making a living. Now, may I say a word here? Maybe that's what's wrong with a lot of preachers. In their study, they think praying to find something. They might need to get them a job and go to work. And they wouldn't be a lazy, shiftless bum that's bumming off of the people and taking all the money from them. Come on. Sorry. I just talk plain. I just say it like it is, and I'm sorry. We get to heaven, I'll still apologize again. But we get there, we don't have very much to worry about. Right? But are you listening? See, trying to cover that, you don't have to move us about. Just see where we're at. The bride in Revelations 1, now listen, I'm going to say something to you so you have to catch on. The bride in Revelations 1 is shown on earth. All right, are you listening? The book was closed in chapter 1. The book was closed in chapter 2. The book was closed in 3. And we'll get down to it. You begin to see what it looks like as it tries to be opened in chapter 4. 5 shows it open. Ten, we're not on earth. We're not on earth. We're in glory. 50, it's the same as Revelation 5. Because in chapter 10, the book is opened. You said, but it's sealed. Yeah, but it's opened. It becomes open. While here on earth, but then we go there. Revelation 21, we're in heaven. But yet we come right back here to earth. Wonderful story. Let me get off of that, okay? I hope you follow. But let's start and try to pick up something just for a few minutes. I know we won't get it down to it. We'll finish this afternoon, but that's all right. Look at number 5, and let's just pick up, because these quotes have been given unto you, but as a partial point, as to proving a voice, as to proving an open door, now we're talking about looking at it in a different light. So this is Revelation chapter 4, 1960, 1231. Oh, and notice John being taken up immediately after the church age was a type of the raptured church. John taken up in 4:1 is a type of the raptured church. Okay. Now, immediately after the church age is over, this lady will see an age. Then comes the rapture. The church goes up with, like John did, into the presence of God. Why? Because he's at the top calling us up, just like Jacob's ladder. Just like Stephen seeing heaven open and there's one sitting on the throne. We'll get to that when we get there. So you just read chapter 4 over and over. But what is it doing? The bride goes up immediately after the church age is over. And it's like I said, isn't it something for us to stand here and comprehend these things before we get there? The bride of Jesus Christ has the book unveiled to her, but this book is not unveiled to the world. The denominations and the ones in this message, they can't see the book. They can't see these things. To them, it's still books and scrolls and all kinds of things. Like I said, I put in a key every once in a while. You remember, in chapter 5, you find a lamb with 7 horns and 7 eyes. Funny looking lamb. That's the bride of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, look at the next one, number 6. This is taken from Revelation chapter 4, part 2. You ought to read this. The two parts, reading is 1 and 2. Is it two different dates, if you'll notice. The other is 60, 1230, or something like 31. This goes over to 101. All right, 61. We find that after these things, after meant that after the church ages has ceased, then John was summoned to come up higher, come up hither. He's seen the church ages. That didn't mean the church ages was over with. We're still here in it, right? He sees it over. John sees the church age over. Does everybody understand that? And he goes up as a type of the rapture. All right. Now he was on earth seeing what was down here. Now he's going to the heavenlies. All right. Then John was summoned to come up hither, which means come up here. He showed him all that was going to happen in the world of the church age. Then after the church age was over, we find then that John was a type of ever true believer that will be summoned by Christ on high. That's right, summoned, come up higher. See, he was in the candlestick speaking from them to his church. Then when the church age had ceased, he left the earth and moved up into the heavens, and he called his redeemed up with him. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, it makes my heart just jump. See, just because it is written there that John goes up, that doesn't mean that it took place right there. He was only typing that. That'll take place the day we go up. You agree? The day the bride goes up is when that'll take place. Well, who cares what time it'll be? I'm 72. I don't want it to last a long time, you know. But still, what does it matter? I don't care if you have to roll me down this aisle in a wheelchair. And I don't even halfway know who I am. I'll still be saying, praise the Lord. You know. I always told you the other day, and I know it don't sound good to people that maybe their families have got it, but you ought to look at that person in your family that's got Alzheimer's and just love them. instead of being hateful to them and arrogant and everything, they don't know. But you know what? They don't know wrong. They may talk vulgar, but that's not their guilty. That's not. You ought to look at them in different ways. And, you know. All right. Now look at the next one. There was a voice that called him. This is Revelation chapter 4, which is back to one, you know, part 1. There was a voice that called him. Oh, that voice. I can't get away from that. That voice of that one behind him. Then he looked around there, and he showed him all the church ages, because he was standing in the church ages, the 7 golden candlesticks. Then he heard that voice after the church ages ceased. The voice that left the earth went up. When he got into glory, he heard him say, come up here. I'm going to show you what's going to happen from hereafter. That's what the title of the message is after this, or hereafter. See? All right. Now let's see if we can get one more. Go up to number 8. This is a pretty good reading. Paragraph 121. We'll go on down. This is 1960, 1231, Revelation chapter 4. Now immediately after he showed the end of the age of his work here, he went on up into heaven. He said, I'll show you what's going to be after this, after the church ages. Now, like I said, John is going to be shown the future. See, everybody wants to deal with how far. Brother one time wanted to know how far did, you know, Brother Brown said it slanted over 20 feet over there. He said, how far did they go up? I said, slanted 20 feet. I don't know. Was it 200 feet, 10,000, 10 million? What's the difference? Your prophet said it's a slant over there, about 20 feet. Where? Another dimension. Dimensions don't have to be thousands of miles apart. They can overlap each other and just run backwards and forth. But you see, that's what we try to figure things out. Well, what good would it do if I could figure out it? No, it wasn't 20 feet. It's 19 3/4. Now, boy, wouldn't that be something? You are smart. Now, how are you going to get over there? Now, is that good Southern language? How are you going to get over there? How are you going to get there? But listen, look what he says. He says, John, I can't talk to you down here. There no more. Now what about the great revelations he'd already given him in chapter 1, 2, and 3? He said, John, you got to come up here. You got to get away from the earth. Oh, wonderful what he saw, right? But you got to get up a little higher now. I think, church, it's about time that we raise just a little bit higher in our understanding. Not to get away from the message, no, sir. But to see what the messenger is talking about. John is a type of the rapture. Did that mean you didn't go up there? Oh, but Brother Dale, Brother Brown said he saw all of us there. I agree with you. He saw all of us there. And I'm not making no joke out of it, but he went to hell and he saw people there too. So which place did he see me and you? We got a choice to decide whether we're down there or up there. Right? And the new birth is the only difference. Ain't how smart we are, how much we know about the message, it's whether or not we're born again or not. Because if you're not born again, you can't be resurrected sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? Because it takes that new birth. All right. Because I've left down there, I've come up higher. Come up here with me. I like that. We talk about Brother Branham saying, you know, when he did, and it's a wonderful thing for him to be out there, you know, when he was hunting and the clouds was taken away and the different things, and the Lord said, just come and walk with me. Oh, that's beautiful words, isn't it? For him to just come and walk with him. Well, John says, come up here where I'm at. You can't stay down there and me stay up here and me make this contact to where that this can happen. That's what you can understand. All right. Show you what's going to take place hereafter. Caught up in the vision. Caught up into glory. See, everybody wants to argue whether he was there physically or whether he was there, you know, in a vision. And then they split churches over that, just that doctrine. split churches over just that doctrine. Let's see. Yeah, I know it, but I know it's not on that one, I don't think. Brother Brown said, I don't care whether it goes up before the tribulation or after the tribulation. I just want to make sure that I go up. All right, I'll give you that quote. His experience. Now, I love that. John had an experience. John had the experience of going beyond the curtain of time. Brother Branham had an experience of going beyond the curtain of time, right? John had an experience. Right? You know, John saw himself. And that's well on over in the seal book, right? But you know that John looked there and he saw 12 apostles and 12 patriarchs. We'll get to that in the next. But you know, when it gets over into the city, he sees a name written there. Well, John's name would be written in one of the stones, right? Because it was one of the apostles. He saw his name. But see, can we see our name?
Amen.
Not Arma Neville, Brother Branham said. He said, because it's not in the Bible that way. He said, but what's going on for the hour? Look out here and see the economy falling apart, see the world falling apart, see all these things happen, and we shout glory, hallelujah. We're crazy. Right?
Amen.
We're just flat crazy. Things start falling apart, we say, praise the Lord. What do you mean? I'm losing my home. I'm losing my car. Praise the Lord. See, we don't read the scripture, do we? All things work together for thee called according to his purpose. Hard to say that when you're sick and down and out, ain't it? Just remember, no sickness can't come on you unless God allows it to come on you, and he's got it there for a reason. Now, a lot of the reason might be old age. Yeah, no problem. We blame the devil for everything. Why blame him for it? I'm wore out. Get an old car, you get 200,000 miles on it, what Donnie called it. Bucket of boats. You want to go buy a bucket of boats? They're making good money out of it, and thank God for that. But bucket of boats. 200,000 miles, the sucker wore out. 70 years old, you expect it to be wore out. But you don't have to be. And if you give up, you won't. I mean, you give up to it, you're going to go down a lot. Listen, John's experience. Now watch. His experience. John's experience must have been something like that of Paul's. What? 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4. If you're putting it down, 2 Corinthians 2:4. Paul was caught up one day into a vision. Did you know that? And he saw things that wasn't expedient for him to even talk about. 14 years, never even mentioned it, see? But listen at the difference between them. Now, why was it that Paul couldn't write what he saw? You don't ever think that? Those are the questions I have. Those are the thoughts. I mean, you know, Paul's a prophet. Why couldn't he write about it? It wasn't time. It wasn't time for it to be written. Now I get it. You'll listen, you'll hear the prophet saying that. But listen at the difference between. Now Paul and John, watch the difference between them. What Paul saw, he was forbidden to speak on or to put it out to the public. And remember, Brother Branham, third pull, not to be made known to the public. You know, okay, right. Listen to what he said. Oh my, I don't believe he could do it. He couldn't because it wasn't time for it. For a little trip I took one day. I've never got over it and never will. And he saw things that he couldn't talk about. I guess he didn't have words to. Now, you see what I'm saying? It wasn't time. He was caught up in the third heavens. Though, see, up in the third heaven, Brother Brown referred to his own self and is beyond the curtain of time. He said, I believe I went to the first heaven. That was his words, if you need that quote. Paragraph 124, look. How different when John was caught up and seen Jesus. He was writing in a book what you have seen and give it back. Send it back to the churches. But just remember, he put it in symbol. It wasn't time then. He put it in symbols. Right? He was told to write it, but he put it in symbols. Right? Now listen. Send it back to the church. Paul was forbidden to speak, and John was even asked to put it in a book. So it would go all down through the ages. Oh my, it's revealed now. To be revealed in this last days. It wasn't revealed in his days. It's revealed now as we go along. Paul couldn't even write it. But John was told to write it. But he was told to put it in symbols. Huh? Not like Revelations 2, 3. That's the church ages and what's going on. That's not really symbols. There's a lot of symbols used there. But listen, we're in the hour for it to be revealed. We know what the symbols are. But because we know what the symbols are, do you know that they say that this message is laying in Oral Roberts University? Brother Run's message. Been told that. I don't know. Ain't never been there. That's all right. But I've been told that it's there. Does that give them the revelation? What I said about Clarence Larkin, that the White Horse Rider was the Holy Ghost. I mean, the White Horse Rider was Antichrist. Did he understand it when he was riding the horse? It was in the time of the Antichrist system and the Trinitarian doctrine. All right? What are you following me now? Paul, the experience was like John's. They both saw things. See? Now this afternoon we'll get more into and tie it together with the evening because we can do that. The word Brother Random gives it, but I'm going to go ahead and call it out here because some of you may not be back this afternoon and some on the internet system may not cut back on. So we will just give where Brother Branham says it in the seal book. He says it on paragraph 23 of the breach. You know, the message of the breach, 6:37, 3:17. And he says there's something goes on here about this fourth chapter. And he says the bride goes up at the end, goes up on the third chapter of Revelation and does not return until 1921 or 19. Then he goes over to the fifth seal and he repeats almost the same identical thing. Paragraph 87 on the fifth seal. He goes on into the fifth seal, paragraph 218, and he says that when this happens, that this is not even to us, you know. Then when he gets down to the Feast of the Trumpets, paragraph 38, he says that the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1, not seen until 1921. All right, they done pulling them up there. I was holding them this evening, but you can read them all. But just think about it, church. You and I have the opportunity to understand this message. With the same Holy Spirit that was given on the day of Pentecost, the little bride of Christ can understand the great mysteries. And then they'll be very simple. John looked up, he saw a door. He didn't see a door, he saw Jesus. But to his mind as a human being, it was a door. So he wrote down door. Right? Over there later, he'd see one and call it the beast. But that wasn't what he was seeing. See? John even heard the thunders, what Brother Brown said. But he was forbidden to write. Well, that's Revelation 10:4. He heard the thunders. He even said, what, Daniel heard them? Daniel heard the thunder? Well, yeah, we're looking for thunders, like something that people of the message looked at them, like some kind of, they had seven men, you know, picked out in the message, and each one was supposed to be a thunder. You know. And, but listen, church, the revelation was going to set us free. Come on, brothers. We'll just drop off right here and pick up this afternoon. And think on these things. Whenever the rapture comes, I just want to be there, don't you? The prophet places it in order and gives it like Paul's experience. What do you think about Paul? Brother Branham said in the book of Hebrews, especially, he said Paul took and used the Old Testament symbols to express the book of Hebrews. Isn't that something? Paul was a great learned scholar. He didn't forget all he learned. But the Bible said he did. No, you're reading it wrong. He forgot all that wasn't no good. He didn't forget all that he'd read. He forgot all of his denominational doctrine and come out with Jesus Christ. You can't erase a man's memory, but you can erase from the man the doctrine that we have. That's what I'm trying to do to you and I. And I hope you understood what I was trying to bring today. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And don't put Brother Branham over there. That puts him exactly where he was in Revelation 3. The messenger to the seventh church age. And you say, but now wait a minute. You said he wasn't a messenger, huh? He wasn't a messenger to the seventh church age. He was the messenger to all the ages. He was to end it all up. That's why I love over in Leviticus. You get in there sometimes, just read it. Seven sevens is 49. And you got us stuck in the world. Because there's no way to get out. Rapture comes in the seventh church age, but the seventh church age is not the rapture. But read Leviticus 25:8 and then go on down to verse 10 and find out. That comes a 50. Brother Branham declared a message to you and I. That message is, naturally speaking, is a 49 because it's a symbolic. But when it's revealed, it goes into eternal life, which is a 50. What do we think about these things? What do you think about the message we've heard? So wonderful. All the answers that we have need of is right in the prophet's message. He tells you how to raise kids. He tells you how to be husband and wife. Right? He tells the kids how to be kids. In one message. And what I love about it is I can just take the computer and I can pull it in there to get a quote. And it don't matter to me if one's in 47 and the other's in 65. And I know there was things that he said that he upgraded on what he was thinking on it. But he didn't change it. If he did, he told us. What about a message can fit from? It'd have to be the message of God, and especially for the bringing it, because there's no other age that had the message. We've got the ability to print this message and send it to the world. That's what it's being done. Put it on a little old disc and send it to somebody, and they got the whole 1,100 sermons or something. What a day you and I are living in. Let's stand together. What we got, Brother?
161.
We'll get through it in just a minute because we're going downstairs and eat together. Have a good time in the Lord, right? Fields away. The sign that the prophet. Anybody have a need? Gentile days number with horrors and cumber. The deep will unfold right. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing with fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your land. Anybody have a need? Look up, your redemption is near. Tree is growing. Look at it. Look at Israel over there and what they're doing. Getting everything ready. The bride's getting ready. Her latter rain's falling. Eternal's birth in your home. The day of redemption is right. Men's hearts are fading far too. Be filled with the Spirit, your eyes grim and clear. Look up, your redemption. All right, we're going to just have prayer and go downstairs, and we're going to have a dinner together. So any of you, the visitors or whatever, you're welcome to come and eat with us and this fellowship and have a good time and all, and just have, you know, everybody decided to have my wife a birthday time today. And, you know, little Abby the other day, she turned 5 on Sunday, but she said, "I am not 5 until I get a birthday cake." Well, you couldn't get her to say she was 5 for nothing. She said, "I'm still 4. Saturday, they had her a birthday thing, and she's 5 now. All right. Nanny hadn't admitted yet she's 70. But we got a birthday cake downstairs, and I don't think they're going to put that many candles on it, because we'd have a 4-alarm fire, you know, putting it out. But she'll officially say after the day she's 70, you know, because it's her time, right? But let's just pray and go down and eat together and fellowship one with another, okay? Father, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, that you would just bless us together in your love and your presence as we go down to eat together. We ask you to sanctify the food, the nourishment of each one of our bodies, and that we may all gather together in you. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for giving our wife 70 years, Lord, because that's her allotted time. Now she can say, like we can, that, hey, we're living on borrowed time. That's wonderful. Every day I get, Lord, is an added thing to what you told me I'd get. Many here are above that 70, and we're enjoying our time because we wouldn't promised it. We'd only promised 70. But Lord, just have your way. Lead us all. Sanctify the food and the partakers together in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.